I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Trax Power Sports Rentals. 2 hours of stories and information about hunting, fishing, and high adventure. It's KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, good morning and welcome back to the second hour, final one for the show each and every week here on KSL News Radio. And coming up at 8 o'clock, of course, it's the KSL Greenhouse. Dave Meekham will be hosting along with Tom Bettis. Tim Hughes along with Russ Smith from Sky Call.
Yeah, good morning.
Thanks for connecting us to Alyssa this morning. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. She's fun to talk to.
And in the coming hour, we're going to be talking with our old buddy Mike Seeley from West Yellowstone about these bison attacks that have been going on. It reminds me of Shark Week. You got to be careful. The sharks are on attack. Now, we'll explain why you can avoid that for sure in the wild. And Navidomskis is also here this morning.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. I want to jump right into our conversation with George Summer. He's a wildlife recreation program specialist at the Lee K. Public Shooting Center, one of your favorite spots,
yeah,
Russell.
I like that.
It's National Shooting Sports Month, and the shooting range has got some great deals coming up. But I'm curious, George, first of all, thanks for joining us this morning.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to be on.
I'm curious, does a month like National Shooting Sports Month actually get more people out to the range? Do you see that, or is it just the hunt that's coming up that inspires people to get out and maybe test fire a new gun or sight in the old one?
Well, it's probably some of both. For National Shooting Sports Month, the National Shooting Sports Foundation does a lot of advertising. So the events that we have coming up, they actually know about, and they're actually going to advertise those for us. So we will get some participation from that, or an extra boost, I should say, from, you know, them putting some focus on shooting sports. And a lot of people here are focused on it as well. And then, of course, with the hunts, you know, everybody's geared up to go archery hunting and then sighting in your rifle before you go. So it's going to be a pretty busy month, but, you know, we're glad for it.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't know if people naturally put archery into National Shooting Sports Month, but you guys do a fair amount of that out there too.
We do, you know, and this time of year, because everybody's gearing up, they're out practicing, and they're practicing in force. So typically our archery fields are busy up until, you know, the hunt actually starts. And we've actually done something new out here because I'm open a shotgun until 9 o'clock. So we've opened up archery on Thursdays till 9 o'clock to give people a little extra time to practice out here.
Oh, that's a nice thing. And I get a feeling that archery, and maybe that's not the case with people that have a lot of time under their belt in the field with the, you know, their bows, but I get a feeling that it's a lot like golf. You could have golfed for a lot of years and still have a bad round when you get out there on any given day. I would imagine it's the same with archery.
It is. You know, if you forget your anchor point and, you know, your stance and all of that stuff, it's easy to fall out of the good habits. A lot easier than it is to maintain them. And that's what practice does, is it keeps that muscle memory going so you can maintain your good habits. And that's applicable to any shooting discipline, whether it's archery or handguns or rifles.
I saw a note from Raylan Takeda, who checks in with us from time to time on the hunter education side, and she was saying, you know, when you talk about safety and archery, some of the injuries are from people just sticking themselves or jabbing themselves with an arrow, but a lot of them are guys falling out of trees. I don't know how you teach people not to do that. You don't practice that out at the range.
Well, we actually do have a tree stand on the archery field.
Oh, do you?
Yes, and it's I don't want to say it's a tree stand, but it's, you know, it's an elevated platform. And what people need to recognize when you're in a tree stand is you should have a safety harness.
Yeah.
Because if you kind of lean over a little further, and if you're like me, you're going to keep right on going. So have a safety harness.
Well, and I've heard guys describe it as hours of real sheer boredom with minutes of sheer terror.
Makes you think some of those guys fallen dozed off up in the tree stand.
That's where I was going, is these guys might have just dozed off and then fell out of a tree stand, which is not funny, but I would imagine that happens from time to time because you're out there, you know, real, real early in the morning. Tell people about the events that are upcoming.
So we've got coming up in August, the National Shooting Sports Month, we've got a long-range shooting clinic, a basic handgun class, and an intermediate handgun class. And all of those, they'll be posted on our Facebook page and then advertised by the National Shooting Sports Foundation. And then there are ticketed events for Eventbrite, but they're free. And that's a good opportunity to come out, you know, if you're not up on long-range shooting, and come learn about it. Same with the handgun classes. Just kind of get a little more familiar or improve your skills.
Yeah, and obviously people, if they're, you know, getting ready for a hunt, which, by the way, the archery season's only, what, a week, 2 weeks away, I think, the beginnings of it anyway, they want to sight in or use their own gun so that they're familiar with it. But if they don't have their own and they're just looking to brush up on skills, do you have guns available out there?
Unfortunately, we don't. We've had a lot of requests for gun rentals, and we actually don't do that here. So hopefully people will be able to bring their own. You know, it's always better if you practice with your own equipment.
Yeah.
But you could probably borrow something from a friend or a close neighbor.
Talk to me about the ages that you see out there. Do you see a lot of people bringing their kids with them?
I do. You know, and in every aspect that we have out here, whether it's, you know, we see a lot of kids on the rimfire part of things, 25-75, shooting 22s. Because that's still the most popular activity for kids. But we're seeing more kids shooting trap. We're seeing more kids on archery. And that's our golden opportunity for shooting sports. There's a lot of older folks participating, but we need those younger kids coming up into it. And it doesn't matter whether it's a boy or a girl. We need all of them to get experience in shooting sports and have some fun.
Well, I don't know anybody that has a better track record of memories than the Smith family does with different firearms and family from the time the kids were tiny.
Well, yeah, and there's a lot of stories with that, but we've always started our kids, and my children are starting their kids with BB guns, BB rifles at about 8 years old. And so they know basic safety. And then they move into the 22s. We've had a blast when we go to Mississippi. We've got, of course, everything there is private, so we're on private property shooting on a range. And the boys are loving the 22s. You know, who doesn't?
Yeah. I remember it as a kid, too. I didn't do a lot of it because my dad wasn't really all that interested in it. But I did have friends that did it, so I followed in their footsteps. Tell people where to find you. We always suppose people know where Lee Kay is, but they may not.
It's at 60th West and 2100 South. And so the entrance is actually off of 5600 West. It's just north of the 201 overpass. So as you're coming off that little hill, the turnoff's in there. You can also access us from 7200 West on the frontage road. There's two ways to get in here. We do have, you know, there's other access from the dump road. That's typically locked because of the hatchery out there. But there's dog training. There's all kinds of fun stuff to do at Lee Kay, and we help people get out and participate.
Yeah, and just want to remind everybody that since we're now in August, National Shooting Sports Month is going on, and particularly if you've got a hunt planned, it's a good idea to make sure your weapon is in good operating order and that your hand-eye coordination keeps up with the technology that's out there these days. Sometimes that can be a problem. George, we appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
George Summer is with us, wildlife recreation program specialist from the Lee K. Shooting Center. We'll come back in just a minute after this break. We're going to talk about the National Ability Center. They've got the Summit Challenge coming up on the 24th of the month. And rather than us just share general information about the event, we thought it would be fun to talk to some of the riders that will be participating, including Maddie, who is sight impaired and has a story to tell about an accident that changed her life at age 11. And then her partner in this ride, who will actually be riding on a tandem bike with her and guiding her through a 50-mile course. That's coming up next here on KSL.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Back at it here for another edition of KSL Outdoors Radio. I'm happy to be able to talk for the next few minutes about the National Ability Center, something, Russ, that you and I have kind of grown fond of over the last several years. And we always get invited to their luncheon, which is a great day where all the veterans and many of the people that benefit from the programs at the NAC, you know, come.
Right,
we hear their stories, and it's inspiring to all that are there.
It is.
And the lunch isn't bad either, by the way.
Not bad at all.
The Summit Challenge is coming up on August 24th, and it's one of those things that I think flies under the radar for a lot of people, but it really shouldn't. They've got like 800 cyclists from kids to veterans who gather up there. And they have multiple courses of different lengths through their adaptive program that allow people who otherwise wouldn't be able to get out and have these experiences to go and enjoy themselves on these courses, and provide about 2,600 mountain bike and cycling lessons annually. And it's an event that's just a tremendous moment for the community, and lets people show off their skills and their hard work. One of those people that's going to be participating this year is Maddie Bauman, who joins us now live along with her. And remind me, is it Linda?
Laura.
Laura, tell everybody what your role in this is with Maddie.
Yeah, so me and Maddie ride as a team. We ride on a tandem bike, so I'm sitting up front and steering. But we're working together to pedal and get power to the bike. So, I'm just Maddie's teammate out there.
Yeah, which is really cool. And it's another one of those ways that people who otherwise wouldn't be able to get out there can get out there. And, Maddie, I hope you're comfortable with us talking about why you're riding with a partner here. And that is because you're visually impaired, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah, when I was 11 years old, I was on vacation and our car was hit by a dump truck, and I actually lost complete vision in my left eye and most of my vision in my right eye, and it just totally rocked my world and kind of changed my path.
Wow. How old were you? You said 11?
I was 11. Yeah, 14 years ago.
So you remember riding a bike as a kid, probably?
Yeah, I remember being able to ride a bike. I loved riding bikes. I rode everywhere. And then I wasn't allowed to ride a bike anymore until I moved down to Utah and I found out about the National Ability Center and adaptive sports. And I found out about tandem biking and that was a safe way for me to get back out on the bike.
We really thought it would be the best way to talk about this was just have someone on who had the experience personally, and your experience at the NAC, obviously, there in Park City, speaks volumes about this chance that you're getting to ride in the Summit Challenge. Now, tell our listeners how long this trail is or this ride that you're going to make.
So Laura and I are going to be riding on the 50-mile ride. So that's a loop that starts here at the National Ability Center and travels across Summit and Wasatch counties and then back ending here at the NAC.
50 miles.
Yeah.
Yep, 50 miles, 5-0.
Is it all off pavement? It's dirt, or is part of it paved?
Nope, it is all paved.
Oh, it's all paved. But I would imagine, taking place in Park City, you've probably got some hills to climb.
There are quite a few hills. I believe our largest hill that we have to conquer is heading up Browns Canyon, and then heading back.
So does Laura give you a heads up when you're about to have a tough go of it?
Oh, yeah. I try to let Maddie know if there's any bumps coming up, sharp turns, hills, just anything that she should know.
As a captain on a tandem, you've got to do that even with a sighted rider behind you. Because they usually can't see around you anyway. I rode tandem with my wife for a long time.
Yeah.
And a good way to ruin a marriage, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, luckily we haven't broken up yet.
Yeah, we're still okay. Good friends.
You'll make it to the race anyway.
How did you two meet?
Exactly. So we're coworkers at the NAC, and we met through that.
Yeah.
And so you... You both had a love for riding, and you found that you wanted to go out and you could actually help each other then.
Kind of. It was kind of more of me trying to get back out on the bike, and I was trying to find a partner to ride in the 16-mile ride with, and Laura came out and just said, I'll do it, and she wanted to ride in the 100-mile ride, and I told her no. I haven't been on a bike in 14 years, so 100 miles was pretty daunting.
So
next year we can do the 100 miles.
And it's not
we compromised on 50.
It's not so much a race, it's just to challenge yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a way for all of our participants and the community members to come out and support us and to show off their skills that they've learned over the summer and succeed and excel at something that they enjoy doing.
Yeah. Now, are you guys raising funds here? Because I know the National Ability Center encourages riders to raise a minimum of $50 that would then go help the adaptive program, and I guess that becomes part of the deal.
Yeah. So our team, we are the team Purple Pedal Eaters, and we do have a fundraising page out there, and we encourage all to go out and find us and help us raise money for this wonderful place that we work at.
Yeah, it is such a special place, and not just for those that, have some physical challenges in their life, but for their families who get a great relief by coming up there and spending some time with their family members.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
I want to give a couple of websites out here. One is discovermac.org. You can find information there. Every year, over 200 volunteers ensure a really safe and enjoyable and fine event for everybody. But folks can come up, too, and just be spectators on this deal, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's so many ways to get involved. Anyone could ride of any ability level. Volunteering is awesome. Cheering is awesome. Just donating or getting the word out about the ride is amazing. So really anything is good.
Yeah. And again, if you want more information, discovernac.org is a great place to do it. But the Summit Challenge is coming up on the 24th. If you want to learn more about it, go to the website, find out how you can buy spectator passes. I know lunch is served up there. You're going to have entertainment up there as well.
Yeah. I can't remember what we're having, but it's
going to
be a fun
ride. It'll be
great. Well, and when you get done with a 50-mile ride, you don't care what it is. You'll eat it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we sure appreciate meeting you guys. Maddie, Laura, thanks for your time today. And again, the Summit Challenge in its 12th year coming up Saturday, August 24th. Learn about the National Ability Center there in Park City. Have a great ride, you guys.
Hey, thank you so much.
All right.
Have a good day.
You guys, too.
Good stuff, Tim.
Next year, Tim. Three of us.
That's good stuff.
What, they got a three-way bike, too?
No. We'll do the single bikes.
Can't put you on the front. Have to put you in the back to anchor.
That's fine.
All right. Still not going to do it. We'll take a break. Come back with more KSL Outdoors in just a minute.
Mike.